This evening, again, we want to continue to pray for the Stone family and the Jolly family. Continue to pray for Pam as she recovers from surgery. Do pray for Ed. He'll be looking at some heart surgery probably in a couple of weeks. So do remember him in prayer. Do pray for Sister Asbury. She's doing very well, but continue to pray for her, also for Brother Senek and Brother Hancock and Brother Hall. Sister Mary, continue to pray for her. Sister Melody, having headaches, so do remember her in prayer. And also the hearing, disability hearing on the 17th of this month, be in prayer concerning that. Brother Ron Hobson, continue to pray for him. Brother Kevin, would you lead us in prayer? Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We'll read verse 26 for our text. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. These are the words of Christ, and it's all about service to the Lord. The background and context of this verse is what is known as the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. We see that a multitude of people had gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And in verse 12, on the next day, much people that will come to the feast. So these people have gathered, and many others were following Jesus unto Jerusalem because of Christ raising Lazarus from the grave. We see that in verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. So you have all these people going to Jerusalem, these people that are following Christ due to the raising of Lazarus. And then notice verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Verse 12, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found the young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem, riding upon a colt. And the people that were really dreaming of an earthly kingdom, looking for a kingly deliverer, hoping that Jesus was this kingly deliverer, they line the street with great enthusiasm and excitement, and I'm sure at a feverish pitch. And some went before and some followed after. In verse 13, they're shouting, Hosanna, or Hallelujah. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Notice if you keep a mark there and go over to Matthew chapter 21, we have Matthew's account. Matthew 21, verse 8 through 11. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed, so there's some before, there's some after, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now many of these who were so filled with excitement in just a few days, these very same ones would not be crying, "Hosanna," but would be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." So what lined the streets that day was really spiritual emptiness. What lined the streets that day was a religious form, a shadow of the real thing. We see the effect that this had upon the Pharisees. Notice in John 12, verse 19, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him.'" So we see the Pharisees, they of course, they were looking for a way to arrest Christ and kill him, but they figured out with all these people so excited about Christ that it wouldn't be wise to do this at this time. We also see in verse 20, we read of certain Greeks, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." So we see why they were there. They came to worship during the Passover feast. Now, these certain Greeks, notice verse 21, "The same," the certain Greeks, "came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" And then notice verse 22. "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," that is, these Greeks want to see Jesus. And again, Andrew and Philip, they go and they tell Jesus that these certain Greeks want to see him. And I'm sure Andrew and Philip were very excited that these Greeks would want to see Jesus Christ. Jesus then proceeded to tell Philip and Andrew of his death. And Jesus answered them, saying, verse 23, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And he followed that by an analogy of his death. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So he's established a principle here. Death leading to life. He's speaking concerning himself. But then he used the same principle concerning these disciples or these apostles. Notice verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." He's speaking of the requirements to serve him. One must be willing to lose his life. One must be willing to lay down his life before he can serve the Lord. So it was these certain Greeks which really led Christ to explain again the conditions of service to him. Again, our text, verse 26, is all about serving and service to the Lord. Notice there in verse 26, three times you have the word "serve," that occurs twice, and then you have the word "servant." So it's all about service. To be a servant, one must be in a servile condition and position. Now, as you read the verse, you see twice the phrase, "if any man," "if any man." And we could insert our own names in the place of "any man," making application to ourselves. So we want to speak tonight on a servant of Christ. Now, verse 26 is a compound sentence. It really consists of three sentences. Notice, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That's one sentence. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. That's a second sentence. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's a third sentence. They all speak of service. They all speak of service to the Lord. So we want to take those three sentences, and those three sentences will be our three points tonight, all regarding serving the Lord. And we can really measure, if we're interested in doing so, we can measure our service, we can test our service by these three points, these three sentences. First of all, we have the rule of serving Him. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, and again, any man, we can put our own names. If Dan Gordon served me, let him follow me. So we put our own names in there so we can make application. Now, there is no service to the Lord without this following. That's clear. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If one is not following the Lord, they are not serving the Lord. Now, there are many who would want to convince us that they're serving the Lord, but when it's very obvious, they're not following the Lord. And Jesus puts the two together. If you're going to serve me, you've got to follow me. These cannot be separated. This is a rule of service. So without this follow me, all so-called service to Him is self-service. It's self-service. It's not service to the Lord. Now, if we follow Him, then you serve Him in the way that He leads. That's the only way He can be served, is to serve Him in the way He leads. We're not left to choose how we want to serve God, or in what manner we'll serve God. We serve the Lord in the way that He leads. That's what it means to follow. You follow His lead. So true service consists of a following the Lord. We only serve Him as we follow Him. We need to be very, very plain on that. So everything centers around this: follow me. And this is the everyday calling of a child of God, regardless of age, regardless of position, regardless of circumstance. We are to serve Him, and we do so by following. So it must be asked, what does it mean to follow Him? What does it mean to follow the Lord? Because we can't serve Him without following Him. The word service is used very lightly today and really means almost nothing. So again, follow me. That speaks of a lifestyle. And that's what the service of the Lord is. It's a life. It's not just pick and choose when you want to serve. It's a lifestyle. And this follow me is a way of living life. So let's consider this, follow me. It is a lifestyle, first of all, of self-denial. Now, Jesus emphasized that in verse 24 and 25 when He spoke of His own death, and then when He spoke of the same principle, applying it to the disciples. He had spoken of this before, just shortly before. Note in Matthew 16, 24, He said, if any man come after me, that means to follow, come after me, let him deny himself. So if we're going to serve God, we have to follow God. And the only way we're going to follow God is to die to self. Self must be renounced. One will never follow unless self is denied. So this self-denial is foundational to following, to serving the Lord. So there must be a desire, a resolve, an eagerness, an enthusiasm, an attraction, a love for Christ that is greater than self. That is greater than self. If we do not have that, don't kid yourself, you will not serve Him. You will not follow the Lord. Again, the Lord makes that very clear in Matthew 16:24. If we're going to come after Him, we must deny ourselves. So there must be such a strong desire for the Lord that it causes us to be done with me, to be done with self. And again, there is no service to the Lord without self being denied. And that's why people today, they say they're serving God, but if anything comes up that they can find pleasure in, the Lord becomes secondary. And it's not just at that moment that they're not serving God. They haven't been all the while. They haven't denied themselves. And it just manifests by the moment. You will not follow unless you deny self. So that's foundational. This lifestyle is also one of priority. Notice in Luke chapter 14, and verse 26. If any man come to me, again, Jesus is speaking, and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters. Okay, that's family. That's family. And then notice what else? And his own wife. That's self. He cannot. It doesn't say he won't be a very good disciple. That's not what it says. He cannot be my disciple. He's unqualified. In other words, if family comes before God, he's unqualified to serve me. If self comes before God, he's unqualified. Now, why does the Lord mention in this verse family and self? Because that's the summation of everything that gets in the way. Family and self. So, if we're going to serve the Lord, it requires a lifestyle where the Lord is the priority. He's the emphasis. Not family and not self. Self and family, these are two entities that we must always be on guard against. Self first. And if you deny self, then everything else takes care of itself. But self and family, we have to realize that these two entities get in the way. Dan Gordon always gets in my way. If we're not careful, family will get in the way. And what the Lord is saying here in Luke chapter 14 is if you're going to follow Him, He has to be the priority. Amen. So this following Christ back in our text in John chapter 12, there must be self-denial, and He must be the priority. And there's an order here. If we deny self, then priorities tend to take care of themselves. Also, to follow him is a lifestyle of attention and focus upon him. If you're following somebody, you're paying attention to them. If you're following somebody, you are focused upon them. To follow means to come or go after. You can't go after if you're not paying attention. It means to accompany or attend, to pursue. And this requires, again, attention and focus upon him. That is why we read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's what it is to serve him. You have to pay attention to Christ. So if one has not denied self, if Jesus Christ is not the priority, and if attention is not focused upon self, you're not following him. And if you're not following him, you're not serving him. Everybody wants a ministry. And they all have these ministries, but they're not serving God because they're not following him. You have to follow. So they have to pay attention to Christ. There are people who claim to be serving the Lord and are offended by Christ. So how can that be possible? To follow also implies a closeness, to draw near. And there's no true service of the Lord separated from him. There's no true service of the Lord detached from him. Many individuals want to serve God, but they want to do so detached from God. It does not work that way. There's a closeness, there's a drawing near to the Lord. It's also a lifestyle of separation. To follow means that we leave behind anything that would cause us to go in the opposite direction of his leading. Again, you cannot serve God unless you're following God. And you're not following God if you're going in the opposite direction. So if someone is truly interested in following the Lord, in serving the Lord, then they are willing to leave behind anything that would cause them to go in the opposite direction. There again, the denial of self becomes primary. We will be willing to leave behind that which will cause us to go in the opposite direction when we deny self. When we deny self, we will not have any difficulty. Christ is going this way, I'm not going that way. And no matter what it is that's pulling me that way, once I deny self, it's not going to work. It's not going to pull me that way. So there's a separation. You leave behind whatever is necessary to leave behind. So you separate from and you separate unto the Lord. Separation always has two parts. Separation from. A lot of people separate from, but they miss the main thing, and that is separating unto the Lord. It involves clinging to his cause. To follow him means that we cling to his cause. There is no serving of God. There is no following of God without a coming out from the world. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17 make that very, very plain. It's also a lifestyle of belief. You're not going to follow something that you do not believe. You're not going to follow someone that you believe is going in the wrong direction. So there must be belief in the individual. And we cannot serve God if we do not believe him. And our belief of him ought to cause us to follow him. To follow him means that we believe him and we're willing to be identified with him. It means there's an agreement with him. We are in agreement with the Lord. You cannot serve God and be in disagreement with God. You cannot follow God. You will not follow God if you are in disagreement with the Lord. So there has to be this belief. There has to be this identifying ourselves with the Lord. There has to be this agreement with the Lord. You do not serve God by adopting your own belief system. How many times I have talked to people and they say, well, you know, you present them a verse of Scripture, I'm thinking about that and I'm developing my theology in my head. Oh, no. That's not good. What they're saying is, I'm adapting my own belief system. I'm adopting my own belief system. You can't do that and serve the Lord. You can't do that and follow the Lord. You have to be in agreement with Him. Well, what if it goes against what I want to do? That gets back to doing what? Denying self. None of it can be done without a denial of self. This lifestyle of service or following the Lord is one of obedience. To follow Christ is to recognize the authority of Christ. You will not serve. We're not in a servile position if we do not recognize His authority. And people say, well, I've always had problems with authority. Well, you need to get that problem fixed, because you're not going to serve God if you have a problem with authority. So to follow Him is to recognize His authority. And when we recognize His authority, then we obey. We're not going to obey somebody that we do not believe has any authority over us. And there's a lot of people who, in the name of service to the Lord, that they don't believe God has any authority whatsoever over them. So this following Christ is to recognize His authority. It's really this obedience, it's the spirit of Saul on the Damascus Road. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, what will thou have me to do? That's what it means to serve the Lord. It means every day we ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then we follow Him. And as we follow Him, He'll show us what He'll have us to do. So there's no true service without obedience to Him. You cannot live a life of disobedience and claim to be a servant of God. It is a lifestyle, this following, this serving, of imitation of Christ. It's to imitate Jesus Christ. It's to conform to Him. Jesus Christ typifies the true servant of God. He epitomizes, He embodies, He illustrates, He demonstrates a true servant of God. In other words, He is the model servant. And as such, He invites us, Matthew 11, verse 29, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. And that's what it means to follow. And again, you can't serve without following. When Jesus said, My yoke, He was speaking of what He was submitted to. What dominated Him. What was He submitted to? God the Father. What dominated Him? God the Father. The work that God the Father sent Him to do. He was speaking of the motive, the aim, the impulse, the passion, the driving force of everything He did. For every journey He took, for every word that He spoke. And then He said in verse 30, after He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, He said, My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. True service to God is not oppressive, is what the Lord is telling us here. If you find service to God to be oppressive, you're doing it wrong. You're not really serving Him. True service to God is not oppressive. Now it is if you don't deny self. But if you don't deny self, you're not serving Him. So, this is a way to test our service. Is it oppressive? Is service to God oppressive? Is coming to church oppressive? Is doing what God told us to do oppressive? Is dressing right oppressive? I mean, is it oppressive? Does it hold you down? Do you feel like it's holding you back? Then you're not serving Him. You haven't denied self. Because the Lord says, my yoke is easy. It's easy. You want to do it. Because you love the Lord. Notice John 13, 14. He said, well, let's turn there. John 13, verse 14. This, of course, Jesus has washed the feet, but just want to notice a couple words. He said, if I, and then notice, ye also ought. If I, ye also ought. What's he saying? He's saying, imitate me. Follow me. That's what it means to serve. Notice verse 15. He says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Ye should do as I. To follow Christ is to imitate Christ. There is no service without following. There is no true service to the Lord without Christ-likeness. Following the Lord involves Christ-likeness. It involves a conformity to Jesus Christ. If there is no conformity to Jesus Christ, if there is no Christ-likeness, there is no service. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it a ministry. You can call it service. It's not. There has to be Christ-likeness. This lifestyle also is one of commitment to Him. To follow somebody, especially for a distance, and here we're talking about life, that involves commitment. It involves a commitment to Him. Now there is a vast difference between interest and commitment. All those that were lining the streets, they had an interest in Christ as far as how it concerned them. They had an interest. Those certain Greeks, they had an interest. But again, just a few days later, this same crowd is shouting, crucify Him. So they had an interest. But they didn't have a commitment. And many times people say, well, they're very interested. Well, that may be. I wouldn't get overly excited about that. I know a lot of people that have an interest, but they're as far away from serving God as you can possibly be. There has to be a commitment to follow Him. You're following somebody, you're going somewhere, going a distance, and you think, well, why are they going this way? I'm going to just head off this way. And you stop, you don't follow. You're not committed to following them. Because you found a better way. That's how it is many times in so-called service to the Lord. They think they found a better way. Something else comes up and off they go. There has to be commitment. These Greeks and these that lined the roads, they had an interest, but not a commitment. So we see the rule of service. Just follow me. There is no service without it. Secondly, notice the fellowship of serving the Lord. Verse 26, the second sentence. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now that's very logical. If you follow someone, guess what's going to happen? You're going to end up in the same place. And that's what Jesus is saying. Again, verse 26, where I am, there shall also my servant be. Why? Because he's followed me. Therefore, you're going to be in the same place. Earthly masters want some separation between themselves and their servants. Not so with Christ. He wants us right with him. No separation. He wants you and I to be where he is. So where I am, there shall my servant be. That's a glorious privilege of being a servant of the Lord. We'll be where he is. So let's think just a moment on where he is. Think of his earthly life. He was in a place of holy consecration. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. He was always in a place of communion with God. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If you get to a place where you're not in communion with God, did you get to that place by following him? No. If you followed him, you'd be in the same place he was. So if we get out of communion with God, we already know what the problem is. We've ceased to follow. We've ceased to follow. Now you've got to back up and get more specific, but that's the general problem. We've ceased to follow. And I can tell you why you cease to follow. Because you fail to deny self. Jesus Christ was in a place of assurance and calm. He always had assurance. Always had a calm about him. And what does he say? Where I am, there shall also my servant be. So you see, service to the Lord will cause you to be where he is. It'll cause you to be where he is. You follow Christ, you're where he is. This is very simple. So those words, where I am, there shall also my servant be, do not they also speak of fellowship with God? So if we get out of fellowship with God, service has ceased. Don't kid yourself. Oh, you can go through the motions, but don't kid yourself. Service, true service, has ceased because you can't serve without following. And fellowship is not going to be broken by following him. Fellowship is broken when you go off of your own way, not when you follow Christ. So we can measure our service, we can measure our following the Lord, and the two are the same, by our communion with God. I mean, hopefully no one here believes that you're going to follow the Lord and communion with God is broken, and fellowship with God is broken. That doesn't happen following the Lord. That happens when we cease. So we got to be honest. When we fall into these problems, we have to realize what's happened. If I'm not where Jesus is, why is that? It's because I've ceased to follow. I've lost my way. And you can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on, but it's not going to help you any. You have to get to the point, I ceased to follow the Lord. No one did it. I ceased to follow the Lord. And therefore, I am out of communion with God. and I'm out of fellowship with God because I ceased to follow Him. And if I ceased to follow Him, I also ceased to serve Him. So there's a fellowship in serving the Lord. Lastly, notice the honor of serving the Lord. The last sentence there, verse 26. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now notice there, we're joined to Christ in service. And if we're joined to Christ in service, we're joined to the Father also. Because I and my Father are one. Can't be separate. So what does this mean? My Father will honor him. Well, I'm not sure everything that it means, but consider Christ. Several occasions, Jesus said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This is my beloved Son. There is an assurance in serving the Lord of our sonship. I've said many, many times, and I believe with all my heart, believe we can back it up with Scripture. You cannot, you do not, I don't, you can say it all you want to, but you're lying. You do not have assurance when you live a consistent life of disobedience. You don't have it. You don't have it. There is a sweet assurance in serving the Lord. There is the assurance that we are the sons, the daughters of God. Because Jesus did those things which pleased the Father bare witness to Him, saying, "This is my beloved Son." And He bears witness in the hearts of those who truly serve Him, those who follow Him. As you follow the Lord, the more assurance you gain. And the more assurance you have, the greater peace that you have. And if we do not have peace, it's because we are not following. It's very simple. Jesus had peace. And if we follow, we'll be where He is. And that gives us assurance. No person will truly serve the Lord without the Father bestowing rich blessings upon him. And I believe that's part of what it means. The Father will honor him. He'll have the blessings of God. Have the grace. Have the grace of the Lord in their lives. The power of God in their lives. My Father will honor him. It tells me that service to the Lord is an elevation. When God the Father honors you, that's an elevation. Serving God, again, is not oppressive. It's to be elevated. So, oh, what a privilege. And what an honor to serve the Savior of our soul. What a wonderful way to live life upon this earth. Do we get out of fellowship with God? Yes, we do. We all do. Do we lose communion with God? Yes, we do. But I hope that we realize that when that happens, it's not due to my circumstances. It's because I ceased to follow. Because I can follow Him in all circumstances. So we must realize that. And when we cease to follow, it's hard to say where you're going to end up. It's not going to be good, I'll tell you that. But if you follow Him, you end up where He is. So we can measure whether or not we're following, by simply asking, am I where He is? If I'm not, then I'm not following. I mean, it's that simple. The most enjoyable, peaceful, and safest life that we can live is to follow Him. You know, many times we'll be following, and perhaps over here or up ahead as we're following Christ, we see something that scares us. Oh, I'm not sure I want to go there. And we take this road. This road looks safe. But I want to tell you something. No matter how safe that road looks, it's more dangerous than however dangerous this road looks. This road, following Christ, is always safer than the safest looking road there is. So we must not judge by appearance. Well, everything's just working out this way, so I'm just going to go this way. You're putting your life in danger. Putting your whole family in danger. Just follow Christ. Just follow Christ. And if we're interested, and I believe most here are, if we're interested in determining whether or not we are truly serving the Lord, we can measure it by these three sentences in our text. It serves as a measuring stick. And again, it's all built upon the denial of self. Self is our greatest enemy. It'll cause us more harm than anything, than anybody. Self has to be denied. Self has to be overcome. Why is it that some people are always, and I mean always, struggling with priorities, and they're always putting other things ahead of the Lord? It's because of one thing. They have not denied self. Self will not allow you to put the Lord first. Self is going to put self first. So God help us. We have in this verse a lesson in serving the Lord. And that ought to be our desire. For however many days we have left, we're to serve God. And perhaps up to this point, we failed miserably. But why continue that way? I mean, if you haven't followed the Lord up to this point, don't continue that lifestyle. Start following Him. Deny self. However many days or weeks or months or years that we have left, we ought to want to spend them following Him. No matter what happens politically, nationally, we're to simply follow the Lord. Just follow Him. And the results will be good because you'll be where He is. And there's no better place to be. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us verse song.